want to be clear, I'm not going nuts.
The president has a big stick.
We choose truth over facts.
Check my shape, man. Let's do push-ups together, man. Let's run. Let's do whatever you want to do.
One man stands ready to deliver change we desperately need. A man I'm proud to call my friend. A man who will be the next president of the United States, Barack America.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States of America, Barack Obama.
We can speak out and be more straightforward.
I'm not going to be a mule. I got something to do. I got to go do boom, boom, boom.
Hillary Clinton is as qualified or more qualified than I am to be Vice President of the United States of America. Let's get that straight. And quite frankly, it might have been a better pick than me, but she's first rate.
I know I'm called middle class Joe. It's not meant as a compliment. It means I'm not sophisticated.
I want to be clear. I'm not going nuts.
A damn liar, man. That's not true. I can get things done. That's why I'm running. And you want to check my shape on it? Let's do push-ups together, man. Let's run. Let's do whatever you want to do.
To the words united. To the number 30330. 30330. Or 303330. Or BOO. Wait. But you got it.
That saves billions of gallons of gasoline. I mean, billions of 2.3 billion dollars worth of, $500 billion in savings and 2.something billion metric tons of CO2 going in the air.
Well, folks, eliminate one tax loophole out of $1.6 trillion worth, $1.4 trillion worth. Out of $1.4 trillion, it's hard to even say it, it's so much. And by the way, it costs a lot of money. It costs about $740 billion over 10 years.
Now is the time to heed the timeless advice from Teddy Roosevelt. Speak softly and carry a big stick. End of quote. I promise you, the president has a big stick. I promise you.
Joe, you want to administer the oath?
Am I doing this again? My memory is not as good as Justice Roberts, Chief Justice Roberts.
I was a Democratic caucus. You ever been to a caucus? No, you haven't. You're a lying dog-faced pony soldier. You said you were, but now you got to be honest. I'm going to be honest with you.
We have this notion that somehow if you're poor, you cannot do it. Poor kids are just as bright and just as talented as white kids. Wealthy kids, black kids.
In Delaware, the largest growth in population is Indian Americans moving from India. You cannot go to a 7-Eleven or a Dunkin' Donuts unless you have a slight Indian accent. I'm not joking.
Chuck Graham, state senator's here. Chuck, stand up, Chuck. Let him see you. Oh, God love you. What am I talking about? I tell you what, you're making everybody else stand up, though, pal. Thank you very, very much.
His mom lived in Long Island for 10 years or so. God rest her soul. And your mom's still alive as your dad passed. God bless her soul.
I agree that everybody, once they in fact, they should. Anyway, my time's up. I'm sorry.
Thank you, Vice President.
Good day, beautiful people, and welcome to another episode of the Total Disclosure podcast. Coming at you from my regular job, my office, I guess you could say I'm on a lunch break, or maybe I finish my tasks 2 hours before punching out. Anyway, today's episode is about current puppet that sits in the White House, Joe Biden. And kind of the reason why you will no longer see me believing in politics or any bipartisan system in which choice is nothing but an illusion. I don't like disappointment, and I'm not going to open myself to it voluntarily. As I said, If some of you decide to support in politics, that's okay. We can still be friends. I'm not going to hold it against you. Just don't try and lift my spirits up with any savior story, because I'm done believing in such things. Joe Biden was born as Joseph Robinet Biden Jr. to Joseph Robinet Biden Sr. and Catherine Eugenia Biden in Scranton, Pennsylvania, on November 20, 1942. He was raised in Pennsylvania with his three younger siblings. His father belongs to English, German, and Irish descent, and his mother belonged of Irish descent. For his elementary education, he attended Arkmere Academy, where he was a member of their school football club and played as a halfback. From the University of Delaware, he earned a bachelor's degree in political science and history. Through a scholarship, he studied law at Syracuse University College of Law. Before turning to politics, he started his career as an attorney in 1968 at the Wilmington Law Firm. Later, he stood for the county council seat as a partisan of the Newcastle and won the position and worked for 2 years. He won the 1972 U.S. Senate election in Delaware. He rose to prominence and was sworn in by the Secretary of the Senate, Francis R. Ballio, in 1973. From 2001 to 2009, he served as the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. He ran for the 2008 U.S. presidential elections, where he competed against Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton. After losing it to Obama, he was voted in as the U.S. Vice President. He was sworn in by John Paul Stevens, who was the Associate Justice. As he was re-elected, he worked in the office until 2017. In the history of the United States, he is considered to be the longest-serving politician due to his experience and age. During his tenure, he helped, and I quote, in the creation of the Job Creation Act of 2010, the Budget Control Act of 2011, and the American Taxpayer Relief Act of 2012, among other legislation. When Obama was re-elected to the presidency in 2012, Joe was elected again for a second term as vice president. Since 1988, he has run for president 3 times, but he did not win his first primary until South Carolina in 2020. He is considered to be the oldest major party presidential nominee in American history, that was 77 years old on Election Day 2020. In 2017, he was honored with the Presidential Medal of Freedom by former President Barack Obama. As a politician, Joe Biden's estimated net worth is $1.5 million approximately. Now, as we all know, that amount pales in comparison to what the big guy did through his proxies. Not only Hunter Biden, but we're also going to talk about his brothers. His brothers are cashing in from the Biden family name and the Biden political power and influence. In countries like my country, Costa Rica, that's going to be a touchy subject for some. And I guess some people locally won't like that I talk about this, but, you know, shit happens. No Name McCain was one of Joe's closest friends. So if you didn't know, now you know. And, you know, John McCain was pretty much involved in all the human trafficking ugliness. In fact, he was the poster boy for one of the first long-term child sex trafficking rings set up by the government itself, by the military-industrial complex, and I guess some intelligence agencies partook as well. And I'm talking about Operation Babylift during Vietnam. So Mr. McCain was the poster boy for that media campaign that seemed to display the United States and the military as this benevolent force rescuing children from the communists and the Vietnamese Red Army, which, of course, I despise socialism as much as anybody else can, I guess. It's just a mindfuck for me to think that once upon a time I agreed with certain things that I now see as ridiculous or insane. Completely insane. Anyway, in 1966, Joe was married to Nelia Hunter, and they bore two sons named Joseph R. Beau Biden III, Robert Hunter, and a daughter named Naomi Christina. After the death of his first wife, he was married to Jill Tracy Jacob, and they had a daughter named Ashley Blazer. Joe Biden was having an affair with Jill while still married to Nelia Biden, causing Nelia to become an alcoholic and die in a DUI along with her one-year-old daughter, Naomi, and injuring her two sons, Beau and Hunter. The evidence of this is in a smoking tweet where Jill admits that during her first phone call with Joe in 1975, allegedly in March, he told her that he'd be speaking at the Democratic Convention and she should tune in. The Democratic Convention was in July 1972, the same year her first husband, William W. Stevenson, said she first met Joe. It couldn't have been the 1976 convention since they were well into their courtship by then and were married in June 1977. All Delaware state records regarding the accident were destroyed by Assistant Delaware State's Attorney Jerome O. Hirlihy, a close friend of Joe who conducted the investigation for the Delaware Attorney General Office and saved Joe's career. According to people close to the Biden family, Nelia could sense Joe was cheating on her and the kids by his absences and by the way he was with her, but Nelia didn't want to destroy Joe's career by filing for divorce on the grounds of infidelity. Back then, that was a nail in the coffin. Joe's philandering contributed to Nelia's demoralization, drinking, and subsequent passing. Biden repeatedly stated at campaign rallies that Curtis C. Dunn, the truck driver involved in wife Nelia Hunter Biden's fatal automobile accident, who saved two of his children and tried to save his wife and daughter Naomi, was driving while intoxicated. Initially, it was believed he said this to elicit sympathy, but an investigation revealed he did it to deflect suspicion from his wife being the one who was under the influence. Most of Joe's lies were harmless. Quote, "I was arrested trying to visit Nelson Mandela. I participated in sit-ins." Quote, you know, just white lies to try and gain sympathy from Democrat voters. But this lie, lying about the man who was involved in his wife's accident, was downright evil. Labeling an innocent man who overturned his rig and tried to save his family a baby killer. If not for a cover-up by Delaware's Attorney General's office, Biden would have been a one-term senator. Biden asked a close Irish friend and neighbor, Chief Deputy Delaware Attorney General Jerome O'Hillihy, to cover up the mess and save his political career. The Attorney General destroyed Delaware state records, which indicated Nelia was intoxicated, such post-mortem toxicology tests, and made sure one was never performed on Nelia's corpse afterwards. Politico reported that the Delaware State Police file was also destroyed. The Attorney General never kept a personal copy of the file, despite its historical significance. These missing documents and the Attorney General plain dumb, along with the fact that the Delaware State's Attorney General's office, which the Biden family influenced, ran the investigation, rather than the Delaware State Police, are the most compelling evidence of a cover-up. Biden claims he met Jill in 1975 on a blind date. According to her ex-husband, William W. Stevenson, Jill met Joe when she was a campaign worker for him during the Newcastle councilman's first senatorial campaign in early 1972, and had an extramarital affair with her starting at an indeterminate time before 1975. In her book, Where the Light Enters, Building a Family, Discovering Myself, Jill recalls that she attended Joe's 1972 victory party. Evidence suggests they immediately began to have an affair. Dr. Jill Biden tweeted, quote, "During our first telephone conversation in 1975, Joe said, Watch me speak at the Democratic Convention tomorrow. Quote, the Democratic Convention was in 1976, and Jill and Joe was long into their courtship and married in 1977. Joe was married to Nelia Hunter Biden at this time. Nelia realized Joe was cheating on her and started drinking. Jill Biden contributed to the death of Nelia and her one-year-old daughter
in the infamous fatal accident.
Joe broke up Bill and Jill's marriage in 1974 after Bill became certain Jill was cheating on him, thanks to one of Jill's close friends and a fender bender with Senator Biden written all over it. William W. Stevenson kicked Jill's ass out of their home, and then Jill and Joe were married in June 1977. The marriage will last because Joe was so in love with Jill, he was willing to risk losing his family and career by having an affair with her. Jill Jacopa lied about her grandparents entering the USA via Ellis Island. Now, I don't have any doubts that Joe Biden was probably also guilty of abusing Tara Reid in the Senate office building basement back then. I mean, some people allege that if he was that dumb, he wouldn't be where he is today. Well, look the way he's acting today and where he is, and that will tell you it doesn't matter how dumb these people are. They are puppets. Biden's staffers have made a career out of destroying sexual harassment complaints from his collected papers at the University of Delaware, and Biden refused to allow a search of these files in case his operatives missed the Reid complaint or similar ones. Biden built a career on destroying documents, period. Just like Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama. The real old-school Joe Biden still hates queers and considers them security risks, but had to pretend to love them since they became a powerful voting and cultural bloc in America. Every so often, his contempt for them surfaces, like when he called a gay couple with child, mommy and daddy. Biden tries to hide his homophobia with stunts like almost kissing Anderson Cooper on the mouth during a CNN interview. Joe Biden should have been expelled from law school for cheating. He copied 4 pages from a law journal and claimed he wrote them, but Joe Biden got down on his knees, groveled, and begged his way out of it. Biden attended law school on a half-time financial need scholarship and graduated 76th out of a law school class of 85 people. Not brilliant by any means. His undergraduate academic records state that he graduated from Delaware 506th place in a class of 688 students with a C average. Undergraduate degree with a dual major in history and political science. Joe claimed he had a full ride, that he was a big man on the campus and a genius. Nothing can be further from the truth. I mean, he wasn't senile or crazy like he is today, but he was always a liar, a con man, and I'm afraid, very much pedophile. The Biden's racist 1994 Violent Crime Control and Law Enforcement Act included preventive detention, building more prisons, minimum mandatory sentences, higher penalties for crack versus cocaine, no federal parole, expanding death penalty crimes such as growing 60,000 kilograms or having 60,000 plants of marijuana, 3 strikes and you are outlawed. This did more damage to the black community, destroyed more families than Trump did or will ever do. Now, Democrats won't like that. In 2020, Joe would go from white races to black races, by any means necessary to get elected president. So Joe has the black vote sewed up because blacks are being conned. There is this notion by Democrats that blacks cannot vote outside the Democratic Party. And some people are calling that the new DNC plantation. I mean, it seems pretty straightforward that if you tell people they cannot do something because of their race, that seems racist to me. On August 6, 2020, Biden proved that he's a racist at heart when he stated that all African Americans think alike. Next, he'll say they all look alike. Due to the onset of senility in Biden, the racist true thoughts inadvertently surface. However, the mainstream media, intent on defeating Trump, always attributes Freudian slips to a gaffe. Biden also says he's the one who defines who's a true black man for the blacks, not the blacks. He has a plantation owner mentality. The truth is that Biden once voted with and socialized with the Senate Dixiecrats, who wanted to give the blacks a one-way steamship ticket back to Africa.
But why don't you listen for yourself? Of course, there's that infamous exchange with Charlemagne.
Listen, you got to come see us when you come to New York, VP Biden.
I will.
It's a long way until November. We got more questions.
You got more questions, but I tell you, if you have a problem figuring out whether you're for me or Trump, then you ain't black.
It don't have nothing to do with Trump. It has to do with the fact I want something for my community. I would love to see
you. Take a look at my record, man. I extended the voting rights 25 years. I have a record that is second to none. The NAACP has endorsed me every time I've run. Come on. Take a look at the record.
You know, I've been critical of you. I have a few things I want to talk to you about.
I know you have. Yeah. You don't know me.
No, I don't. That's why I want to get to know you today. I want to talk to you about mostly black stuff.
I get overwhelming support from the black leadership, young and old. Every poll shows me way ahead.
And black people saved your political life in the primaries this year. They have things they want from you. And one of them is a black woman running mate. What do you say to them?
What I say to them is that I'm not acknowledging anybody who is being considered, but I guarantee you there are multiple black women being considered. We've seen it more clearly now. In a black majority county, they're six times more likely to die in the pandemic than a white county. They're disproportionately uninsured in the African-American community, disproportionately make up the essential jobs that they can't do at home. They're risking their lives every day. Enough's enough.
It doesn't really get much evident than that, of course. During the intro for this podcast, you listen to probably 4 or 5 minutes of Joe Biden's greatest hits, as you can find that on YouTube, which is a collection of, you know, his biggest blunders on television and, I guess, press conferences, and rallies, etc. To understand the Biden family and how screwed up the kids and the even the young adults and the adults in that family are, you gotta understand what generational incest is. This is gonna cause a cognitive dissonance for some, if you are a Democrat, but, you know, it happens on the biggest families in the world, the elites. It happens in Hollywood. It happens in politics. It happens in wealthy circles. Incest is not uncommon. Incest is actually a practice that seeks to expand the family resources all while preventing other families from gaining access to them. So it's pretty self-explanatory. Biden's ancestors came to America in the same ship as Gilbert de Motier, the Marquis de Lafayette, a French aristocrat and military officer who fought in the American Revolutionary War, commanding American troops in several battles, including the Siege of Yorktown. Biden descends from a slave-owning Maryland family. He was named after one of the slaveholders, actually. Snopes, which has a left-wing bias and is in part owned by George Soros, verified that the former vice president's mother's parents' parents are listed on Maryland's Legacy of Slavery website. So that's a fact. That's not even disavowed by outlets like Snopes. Granted, that's a long time ago, and we cannot make Joe Biden responsible for that. But if you listen to his blunders, if you follow his political career and what he actually did, to the black community, you can see that the apple doesn't really fall far from the tree. Not in this case, at least. Biden claimed his ancestors worked in the coal mines. Actually, his ancestor, Patrick F. Blewett, a coal company mine safety inspector, helped cause one of the worst mine disasters in the history of Pennsylvania, the Avondale Colliery disaster of September 1869. In 1868, the state placed law enforcement in the hands of the coal operators, and far more than 60 years of state government aligned with the coal companies, while coal miners lost lives and limbs. Biden family members never do the time, even if they commit the crime. For example, Joe Biden's niece, Caroline Biden, stole $100,000 with what was probably a stolen credit card, although she claimed she borrowed it from a friend who confirmed her story. But they might have been in cahoots, for all we know. Biden's daughter, Ashley, was busted for marijuana, yet Biden calls pot a gateway drug. And to even go deeper about it, well, they just fired a bunch of interns that had actually a history or confessed to smoking pot before, even if they did so while living in states where marijuana is legalized. They lost their jobs and they were ostracized from their careers. So the hypocrisy runs deep in the Biden administration. According to Biden, his daughter Ashley should be a junkie by this time instead of marrying a Jewish doctor. Kamala Harris locked up thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people due to marijuana, even though she admitted to smoking it in college. And what about Hunter Biden? Many of us have seen the pictures of Hunter Biden doing cocaine, smoking crack. Did Hunter deliberately take the computer with a Hunter Biden logo on it into a shop for repair, knowing its contents might be revealed and incriminate his father? Was this a cry for help? Does Hunter hate his father for favoring Bo? Or is Hunter Biden a crackhead who didn't think of the risks he was taking having his computer repaired? I don't think so. I think paranoia would dictate that he would be very aware of what he was doing. So you never know with these people. The Department of Justice has a policy of no political indictments in an election year. Biden wins, Hunter walks. He can put his own son in prison. Alas, it was necessary for the elites to choose Biden to save a really big number of their members. Because I believe if Trump got a second term, the pressure for arrest would have been too high even for Trump. Too high for everybody in government. I believe they didn't expect the movement, Trump's movement, to grow as fast as it did. And regardless of what you think about Donald Trump, I'm speaking of Donald Trump like if he's control of position. And I know some of you won't like that. But I'm frankly done. I'm frankly done fighting for politicians. I'm frankly done fighting for bipartisan systems, political parties, democratic processes that allow cheating and vote harvesting and a lot of other bullshit that we experienced since November. That November and December, it really cost me. It really took a toll. And I'm still recovering from a lot of things. Things have not been easy. I'm moving to a new place this week. I just survived a robbery attempt. Saturday. Unfortunately, I'm selling a new phone that I don't need because I already have one. It turned out that the people that showed up to buy it were robbers. So I got lucky on that one. But I'm just saying, I'm no longer talking about Trump as if he's one of us. He needs to prove he's one of us. He hasn't proved anything, in my opinion. Regardless of that, you're not going to see me going after him. Of course, the Democrats and the RINOs, they are bigger targets for me. I still believe Trump is the best way, is the most convenient path for us, the one that gives us more time, more rope, more space to fight back. And I hate to clarify myself every time I speak about this, but you know, it's people are really confrontational and I would say bold and decided in their politics, and that's fine. Listen, I'm still a conservative libertarian, but I no longer believe in the system. And I had stopped believing in the system. And the only reason I started believing in it, it was because things seemed to be happening. With, you know, with the arrest of Jeffrey Epstein, and then Ghislaine Maxwell, and Jean-Luc Brunel, and other people. But in the end, I'm afraid it was all a smokescreen. The whole race-baiting rhetoric exercised by the Democrats, and especially by people like Kamala Harris and Joe Biden, is very detrimental, and it's clearly aimed to provoke a racial conflict, or at least a political conflict, a civil war. Kamala Harris was a prosecutor in Oakland, California, before being elected as San Francisco's district attorney in 2003 and winning the re-election in 2007. In 2011, she became Attorney General of California, winning re-election in 2014. But now she's down with the element in the black community dedicated to ensavagement, a regression to the savagery of the jungle rather than the rule of law and traditional Western civilization. Harris's transformation to the encouragement element becomes evident when she threatens white Americans to beware, because the Black Lives Matter actions will continue on two levels. First level, peaceful demonstrations. Second level, breaking off into groups to loot and burn things. After sending countless black men to prison and depriving them of their potential Biden rails against the latest additions to the endless list of his stolen potential wiped out unnecessarily concerning George Floyd. I mean, you just gotta go back and listen to the opinions of Biden and Harris about George Floyd, and then go and read the true story of the so-called, quote, gentle giant. Floyd had marijuana, fentanyl metabolites, and methamphetamines in his system at the time of death, and he had three counterfeit $20 bills hidden in his car. He had abandoned two baby mothers and left them with his children, unattended, unsupported. Why make him a martyr? Why make a man that made a living of crime and child neglect an example for up-and-coming young African-Americans? And what about when George Floyd robbed this lady at his house who was pregnant, and he had the nerve to point his gun to the woman's belly so she would give out her jewelry and the money she had hidden in the house? That's George Floyd. George Floyd is not the man yelling, "I can't breathe," while a cop had a knee in the back of his neck. As much as it disgusts me, and as much as I think this cop had issues and he should not be licensed, carry, or much less be a figure of authority, you gotta look out at the history of these two guys, because they worked together at the nightclub. George Floyd and the police officer that is being accused of murdering him, Derek Chauvin, they used to work together. I mean, Derek used to take care of the internal section of the nightclub, and George Floyd worked the outside, but they knew each other. And for some reason, Derek didn't like George, and he knew George was trouble. The other specimen that was made a martyr, Jacob Blake, who was a rapist, a member of the Bloods. He was involved in a domestic dispute who was going for a knife he had stashed in his car, so he could stab a cop. But the cops thought it was a gun, and rather than let him come out shooting, shot him. What would you do? Biden claims that a man with a knife is unarmed. That's wrong. That's not what they teach at the police academy. Biden pandering in Kenosha after the Jacob Blake event.
Why in God's name don't we teach history in history classes? A black man invented the light bulb, not a white guy named Edison.
Thomas Edison patented the electric light bulb, first in 1879 and then a year later in 1880. Howard Lewis Latimer received a patent on January 17, 1882 for the process of manufacturing carbons, an improved method for the production of light bulb carbon filaments. So, unfortunately, Joe Biden is factually incorrect. He's just pandering to the black voters and trying to gain sympathy by lying, by deceiving, by manipulation. The white guy invented the light bulb. The black guy improved the light bulb that was invented by the white guy. That's how it happened. I mean, are we going to change history now? Snopes says, on August 9, 2020, Biden and on August 9, 2019, Kamala Harris both claimed that the shooting of Michael Brown in Ferguson, Missouri was a result of police misconduct and not self-defense, despite the Obama and Holder Department of Justice report to the contrary. The story that Big Mike Brown was shot in the back with his hands up was the biggest fake news story ever floated on the U.S. public by black racists, by people trying to incite a racial conflict. Jacob Blake was a scumbag who was accused of having sex with a then 14-year-old girl. He was older than 21 when he did this. I don't care where do you live. I don't care what do you think and how liberal you are. That, for me, it's a pedophile, a coward, an abuser of children. Add that to the fact that he was going to attack the police officers. What would you do as a police officer if you knew that this guy is a pedophile and a rapist? Does that count for anything? I think so. It counts for me. But Joe is not the only one who comes from a screwed up family. Jill Jacopo's family tree traces back to the Sicilian Mafia. Joe Biden had help from the Mafia's Irishman in winning his 1972 seat in the Senate. Biden's brother, Frank, was connected to the organized crime. He has business in Costa Rica, my country. And I'm going to be talking about that later. Of course I am. In 1972, the Biden campaign's legal counsel and brother-in-law, John T. Owens, had Frank the Irishman Sheeran bump a train carrying newspaper and ink to prevent the Delaware News Journal from running a derogatory ad about Joe. I'm not kidding, guys. It's common knowledge, but it turns out that it's been a long time, and now people don't talk about it. Hunter Biden, who is married to Melissa Cohen. Bo Biden married Hallie Olivier, a Jew. Ashley Biden, Joe's daughter with his second wife, Jill, married Howard Crane, also Jewish. Biden and Obama let ISIS fester. Biden calls for the creation of a terror state in the West Bank to get a Muslim vote. Biden supports Louis Farrakhan and the black Muslims. Bo and Ashley married Jews, but Biden is willing to sell them out to become president. So what's that all about? And what's the connection in between Jeffrey Epstein and Joe Biden? Did you know that Joe Biden's brother owns an island, you could say, in front of Little St. James? Yeah, we're going to be talking about that later as well. I mean, this guy has so many skeletons in his closet that I really think that the left and the mainstream media were projecting with every accusation they were blaming Trump off. It's a technique they have perfected over the decades. The involvement with the mafia is not new. George H.W. Bush signed a blood pact with the mafia and, of course, the deep state intelligence agencies to take care of John F. Kennedy. And, of course, they ended up blaming the mafia. But that was part of the deal. It wasn't a betrayal. The mafia knew they were going to be used as a sacrificial lamb. So that was today's episode. During the next episode, we're going to go even deeper in regards to Nelia Biden's passing. And we will also start dissecting some of the cringe business relationships that Biden's family has developed by using his influence and his position in the Senate and the vice presidency. Now, you have been a little bit disappointed because of the lack of episodes. Please bear in mind that because of the slow process to regain my subscribers, I was forced to get a full-time job. Probably some of you don't know yet, but I'm a slave to the grind again, and I'm working 55 hours plus a week at night, which, you know, depletes my stamina for the most part. I hope I get used to it, but some people believe you never get used to it, so I don't know. I'm also in the process of moving. I'm moving out tomorrow or Tuesday. I'm not even sure, because I need to get the keys for my new apartment, and I'm not even sure I'm going to get them tomorrow afternoon. It depends on the landlord's availability. If the podcast surpasses the 60% goal as far as subscribers go, I will raise it to 3 again. If it goes to 100%, it will be 4, and so on. But at this time, you know, I got to dedicate more time to my full-time job, and I'm still working on the film, and I'm still working on articles. Of course, the podcast is kind of a priority because you are the ones sustaining the Total Disclosure website and the cost of the operation. That said, you can always email me. You can always send me a DM via Subscribestar. You can also send me a DM via MeWe. I'm off Twitter. I'm off Facebook. I'm off YouTube. I'm only on BitChute and Rumble. I'm also on Odyssey. You're not going to see me on those mainstream social media platforms ever again. At least not as Total Disclosure. If I use Twitter or Facebook, it's going to be entirely for personal purposes, to talk to people. I'm not going to be making publications. I'm not going to be trying to beat the algorithm. That said, we have a long road ahead. This is not over, guys. I'm just trying to stabilize myself with my new routines and my new schedules. And I hope Total Disclosure is back to 100% soon enough. Of course, without Facebook and Twitter, my reach is much less powerful. But giving up is not really an option. Not yet. We still have a lot of fight in us. Please stay tuned for next Joe Biden's episode. I gotta see how it goes, my moving process. I was supposed to finish this episode yesterday, but, you know, with the robbery attempt and all that situation, I was just too stressed out to record, basically. And that's it. I mean, that's what I have for you. That's the truth. So in the meantime, take care. We'll talk later.
But it was You said you'd die.